Very welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. Welcome to those on the radio as well, KXRB. We're here every Sunday morning at 10:05, so please tune us in when you have opportunity. And welcome to those on live stream as well. So good to have you via the internet. Well, there's prayer request cards found in the pew racks as well as the sign-in booklets. So go ahead and take care of those. Sign in, pass it on down. And then the prayer requests as well. You can put those in the offering tray or put them in the receptacle in the rear of the sanctuary. And know they'll be prayed on several times this coming week. So use those if you have need. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. That's why we have the white going on the altar and the stole. But for us, we continue on in our series going through the book of Acts. And today we look at Acts chapter 16, verses 9 to 5, where Paul and Silas journey into Philippi. And they want to go into the territory of Rome, but the Holy Spirit does not let them. And so they've come into a detour, but they go onward into God's future. So that's our basis of our message today. Well, the announcements that'll be flashing up on the screen, as you can see, always expect the unexpected on Sunday morning. The first announcement, get ready for the 8th annual ping pong tournament here at Zion. Everyone is welcome to join us on Saturday, March 15th at 10 a.m. to about 2 p.m. We usually get done about then. We'll have divisions for all ages and abilities in the ping pong tournament, like third to fifth grade, middle school, beginner, moderate, advanced for adults. The cost is $5 for single participants, $5 for doubles. Concessions and lunch will be sold, of course, and all of the money raised goes to the National Youth Gathering this summer in New Orleans. You can find the sign-up over in the atrium, find the ping pong table, or you can go on the website, www.zionlutheransf.com, and click on the ping pong banner to register as well. The next announcement is we are walking to Jerusalem again this year. We start Wednesday, which is Ash Wednesday, coming up, and plan to be there in Jerusalem as we all walk together in time for Good Friday. So again, please record your activities. Be sure to turn in your miles to Nurse Rachel each week. 20 minutes of activity equals 1 mile, and there's more information on the display in the atrium. Next announcement, join us for Joy on March 11th. Jolene Hansen will be sharing details about her mission trip to Guatemala that she took in January. Lunch will follow the presentation. Sign up in the atrium to bring taco fixings. Joy is open to anyone 55 years old and over. And I guess that's me. The next announcement, sign up to help with the Walk with Jesus. We need actors, we need guides, we need people to help put it all together. It's on April 19th, which is the day of our Easter egg hunt as well. It's a big combined event, so we walk the kids and the parents and the families through Palm Sunday to the crucifixion, and then we have the Easter egg hunt, so they'll get a taste of Easter no matter what happens during the Easter egg hunt. So that's April 19th. Contact Shelley Simonson if you'd like to be part of the ministry, or call the office and we'll hook you up with Shelley. And then finally, we need one more group to prepare and serve our Lenten supper on Wednesday, April 2nd. Contact the church office if you're interested. Those are the announcements I have for you this morning. Again, so thankful that you are here this morning. We get to come to the Lord's table as well together, so what a great morning it is. Let's rise and greet each other in the love and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome and a joyous good morning to you from all of us here at Zion Lutheran Church in the heart of Sioux Falls. Please join us now as our worship service begins. The opening hymn is taken from the Lutheran Service Book number 826, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will kneel for confession this morning, if you are able. Let us confess our sins, known and unknown. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that our faith wavers at times. We allow things of this world to produce uncertainty and fear within us. Although we believe in your victory at the end of time, we fail to trust you to protect us and relieve our anxieties each day. Forgive us, strengthen our faith in your almighty power and unconditional love, and turn us again toward your will. Grant us to serve you in peace and joy. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, gave his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise if able. Our introit is Psalm 67 and is responsive. May God be gracious to us and bless us, so that your ways may be known on earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. May the peoples praise you, God. The land yields its harvest. May God bless us still. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll have our time in the Word.
Paul hears Jesus' voice. Here is another picture of Paul. He is sitting in the road. While he was walking down the road, all of a sudden, God started talking to him from heaven. He is telling Paul not to hurt the Christians anymore. He is saying, Paul, you too must become one of my friends. I am Jesus, and you must stop hurting me, and you must leave my people alone. Paul is very surprised and afraid, and is asking Jesus what he wants him to do. Jesus tells him, and now Paul will always do whatever Jesus says. Thank you, Lord, that you can change even people like Paul so that they will love you. I'm glad. Reading of the day, Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite the children forward for the children's message.
Well, Miss Emily was not feeling well this morning, so she asked if I would give her children's message. So on the front page here is a picture of her granddaughter. And so that's one of the things that she wanted to share was her granddaughter's name is Lydia, and that's the name of the lady in our story. So today I want to talk to you about someone named Lydia. However, it's not Emily's granddaughter named Lydia, all right? But the Lydia we just heard about in our Bible reading, she lived in a town called Thyatira, and she was a maker and seller of the most beautiful purple cloth. We read about Lydia in the New Testament book of Acts when Paul and his friends Silas were on a mission trip. That meant they were traveling outside of the area they lived to share the good news of Jesus with people who had not heard it yet. Paul met Lydia by a river. That's kind of a strange place to meet someone, wouldn't you say? Well, Lydia was there praying with a group of other women. The Bible tells us Lydia was a person who believed in the true God, but she had not heard about Jesus and his saving love yet. When Paul started telling the people at the river about Jesus, the Holy Spirit entered into Lydia, and she was filled with the joy that comes from hearing and believing something for the first time. We read that Lydia was so excited to hear this news that she and all the people living in her house were baptized. They became a part of God's family, just like you did when you were baptized. The miracle of baptism is a gift given to each of us by our God. Even Jesus was baptized as an example to us. So you can see over there the baptismal font. Maybe some of you were baptized over there, right? Yeah. So once Lydia was baptized, was her excitement about Jesus done? Absolutely not. She went on to tell others about this amazing news she had just heard. With the help of the Holy Spirit, she opened her heart and home to anyone who wanted to hear about Jesus. She even invited Paul and Silas, who had just been released from jail, to come and stay with her so they could keep telling people about Jesus' love. What a woman of faith she was, believing in not only the one true God, but in Jesus who saved her and us from sin, eternal death, and the power of the devil when Jesus died and rose again on that first Easter Sunday. So Lydia lived far from where Jesus lived while he was on earth. She had never seen him in person, but had faith to believe that everything Paul told her about him was the truth. That truth set her free from sin and brought her back to God the Father, just like it brings all of us back too. This is not just good news, it's great news. In fact, I think it's the best news ever, right? So let's pray and thank God for giving us that same gift of setting us free from sin, death, and the power of the devil in our baptism, just like Lydia. So let us pray. Thank you, dear Father, for your son Jesus, who suffered and died for us in order to bring us back to you. We praise you for people like Lydia, who couldn't stop telling others about you. Help us to do the same. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Emily has a card for you if you would like one. All right. You want one for your brother?
There you go. Sermon hymn this morning is taken from the Lutheran Service Book, number 830. Spread the reign of God the Lord.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, there are twists and turns to life, aren't there? At times, the future seems to unfold itself in very predictable ways and very logical ways. At other times, you can't tell what's coming at all. Or maybe today, you may even be wondering, how in the world have things turned out this way? Why here? Why not? Maybe it's your job, maybe it's the place you live, maybe it's your marriage, your children, your physical health, the experiences that you've had in life so far. There's been many ups, there's been many downs. There have been successful plans, and there have been surprises. How about now? How about this moment? Let me ask you, how are you doing? How do you feel about what might be coming next? Do you predict more twists and turns, or will it be more flat, smooth, and straight? Well, dear friends, I want you to know that this is a burden that you weren't supposed to carry alone. In fact, God's specialty is to carry that future for you, because it's much, much, much too heavy of a burden for you and I to bear alone. Jesus said, "Don't worry about tomorrow." Why? Because he understood that you could never, ever carry such a load. Instead, dear friends, you see, he carries the future for you. He leads you from moment to moment in his faithfulness and in his grace. In fact, God's specialty is to call people to follow him, and then by faith to show them that he takes care of them each and every day as they journey in their life. So, onward into God's future, which is the title of the message today. And if you think about it, God's been doing this for a very long time, carrying us and caring for us. I remember back to the Old Testament, shall we go there? God called Abraham to travel to this unknown land that he called him out of, and then when he got there, said he's going to use you to bless all of the world. I think of Moses. God called him. He was frightened, but he called him to rescue the people of Israel from captivity in Egypt. And then, don't miss it, right? He showed his faithfulness with mighty works, miraculous signs. God called Peter, James, and John from lives of fishermen to be fishers of men or fishers of people through them. And through them, you see, the gospel has traveled to our ears and to our hearts, even to this day. None of those folks knew that they were going to be used in such a manner. None of those folks knew where they were headed to in the future, but God was faithful. Faithful with their future, blessed them, and blessed us, you see, through their lives. In the Bible reading today from Acts chapter 16, we meet people who are struggling with what is to come next. Where are they to go next? It's from the Apostle Paul. He's got his traveling companions, and they had their hearts set on a missionary journey into Asia. They were pumped up. They were ready to get after it. They were ready to go. But as they tried to enter into this region, from Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7, from right before our text for today, on the screen it reads, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them." I don't know exactly how it all transpired. I don't think anyone does. But for some reason, God did not let them step into the territory where they wanted to go. The Holy Spirit prevented them from carrying out their plans that they had set in their hearts and in their minds. Instead, he sent them a detour. His detour. You may feel like maybe you're experiencing that right now. You know, maybe you had a plan, you had your heart set on the way your life should be at this very moment, but it didn't turn out that way. There's been a lot of twists. There's been a lot of turns. You can see the detour sign up there. There's been a lot of valleys, maybe some high spots, but there have been plenty of detours. Perhaps your health isn't what you would like it to be. Maybe you're yearning for a relationship in your life. Maybe one's ended too soon, or maybe it never happened the way you wanted it to happen. Or maybe you're struggling to find work this day. You feel disappointed with the struggle that brings on each day. Or perhaps you thought your life would be turning out much differently than it is as you're sitting here today or listening on the radio or listening on the live stream. And let me say and acknowledge that it can be frustrating and it can be confusing, can it? But dear friends, whether you're here in the sanctuary, listening on the radio, or on the live stream, I want you to know this. And I want you to believe this, that God cares for you more than you know. He cares deeply about your life. He's not ignoring you. He didn't forget about you. His word shows you over and over and over and over again that He is faithful to you and that His promises are faithful. He is faithful to His people, and He wants all people to know Him and His love for them. He loves you so much, don't you see, that He literally, historically, and publicly, right, read all about it, sent His Son, Jesus, to purchase your life as His own. Jesus paid the price of His life, sacrificing Himself on the cross so that you can be God's cherished and precious child, a child whose life now and forever matters to Him. Your life is important to Him. Even when it's not going the way that you thought or hoped it would, God is faithful to you as He navigates you, and He will take you through the unfamiliar territory. He'll lead you and He'll give you purpose as you travel life's detours into each new day. So let me say again, onward into God's future. Now I have a story here. There's a gentleman, you see him up there. His name is J.R. Martinez. I don't know if you've heard about him or not. I remember him from Dancing with the Stars way back in 2014 when I used to dabble in that show, you know. His story goes something like this. He graduated high school, then JR. There he is. He joined the Army, and after his training in Fort Benning, Georgia, in 2002, he was deployed to Iraq in March of 2003. And then 1 month later, while in Iraq, of course, the unthinkable happened. His Humvee drove into a roadside bomb. And the explosion trapped him inside that Humvee, and the Humvee was on fire. Finally, they got him pulled from the wreckage. He survived, but about 40% of his body was burned. So they evacuated him to a military hospital in Germany, and then eventually to the United States for 33 surgeries over 34 months. The burns on JR's face, it changed his looks. He didn't look like that same person he was, and he wondered what kind of a future, you see, he could ever have. Was his life ruined? But during his hospitalization, JR discovered that he could help other burn victims. He discovered that he could sit by the bedside or sit in a chair with someone and encourage them as they look at themselves for the first time in a mirror. Because for many, the pain of their looks was worse than the pain of the fire itself. But JR was there to let them know that life is not over. New life, new purpose, they're just beginning, he tells them. He was dedicated to helping wounded warriors. He said this is a quote, "I discovered that it is what is inside a person that matters most. And I wouldn't change anything, absolutely nothing. I do believe everything happens for a reason, and I'm extremely grateful for that day because it led me into this life." He You see, it wasn't his plan. It wasn't JR's plan, but it was God's grace, his care, and his blessing that brought him to this place that he never imagined. You may have heard about JR if you know him at all. He became quite a public figure, and his interest in publicity grew and grew and grew in very interesting ways. I got two of them. All My Children called, you know, the soap opera that was on TV. They called him back in the day because they needed a military veteran. He auditioned. He got the role. And of course, Dances with the Stars as well, back in 2014. Him and his partner were chosen for the show, and then not only chosen, but they ended up winning. And there you can see the picture on the screen. The whole point is to say, life may take you to places that you never expected. You may know many detours, but the God of the Bible, the one who makes you certain of an heir of heaven itself, that God cares for you. He will lead you faithfully into the future. I think that's what Paul discovered here, you see. Right in the middle of his confusion about what to do by being denied to go into this territory, God stepped in. He stepped in. And that's where we hear in Acts chapter 16. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So when you're confused and worried about your life, it's very, very, very important for you to listen for God's guidance. It's absolutely essential that we are attentive to him. And you're probably thinking, well, Pastor, God spoke to Paul in a vision, and that's so wonderful, but that never happens to me. But look at the screen. Do you realize that God speaks to you today even more certainly than that? The Bible, dear friends, is God's clear word. Read all about it, right? It's his voice contained on those words in that book about the things that matter most in life. The Apostle Peter, he talked about how precious the gift of God's word is when he said, again on the screen, "We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." God speaks to you, dear friends, through his word, the Bible. The Bible brings you God's sure and certain voice of salvation, of comfort, of hope, of guidance. It's a helpful voice in a very confusing world out there. The Apostle Paul, again, he clearly says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 on the screen again, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, God's word, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. For all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be completely equipped for every good work. If you're wondering where life is going, you are given a wonderful gift called the Bible, God's word, so that you can hear from God as you travel the pathway and journey of this life. He'll help you by filling you with hope, filling you with understanding, filling you with endurance. For you see, the Bible is not just a book, it's the living word of God. It's God speaking into your life. It's God speaking into your needs. It's God bringing you into a future that is filled with hope and salvation. And let me add, even if you don't feel different immediately when you read it, God's promises that his word is a promise that it works. It always brings results, his word. You read God's word, it is never done in vain. It's a precious gift that brings God's grace right into your life. Just as Paul needed God to speak to him, these plans that seem to be a dead end, you and I need this eternal, life-giving Word of God as we face the future world that's filled with frustration, filled with detours. I hope, I pray that you hear what God is offering. If frustration's the only thing in your life today, you see, if what the world offers is all you have, if you're trying to carry the future of your life all on your own shoulders, you're going to become helpless and you're going to become overburdened and you're going to eventually despair. This broken world, you see, it can do that to you. It will do that to you. It can do it to me, and it will do it to me too. And it did to some of J.R. Martinez's soldiers. He reached out to them and he made them believe that they still had a future. They were torn apart physically. They were torn apart emotionally from their serious injuries. Perhaps you have scars of your own, dear friends, that are gathered here today, listening on the radio or on the live stream. Maybe you bear wounds from people or your past or the present. I don't know. See, this is a painful reality of life in a world shattered with sin. Or maybe you're even paying the price for some bad decisions that you've made in the past. Poor choices that have left you feeling disheartened, sad. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, aren't we? But God understands this, you see. He understands that the world and our lives are broken by sin, and His heart goes out to each and every one of us, and that's why He stepped into the world with the gift of His Son, who came to be our Savior. That's why God speaks words of life and strength and salvation to you in His Word, as only He can. But you got to open it up and you got to read it. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What does it say? He cares for you. He rescues you from hopelessness and despair. He gives you hope. He gives you help. And that's why it's so important for you and I as God's people to be in God's Word for your life. For your life. He speaks truth, and that truth that you hear is precious. The truth is that He has forgiven you. That's the truth. He loves you. He walks with you. He wants to use your life, is the truth. To do what? To shine His light of hope to others. That good news, that's something to believe in. That's a God to trust in, dear friends. But even more, that's a God to lead us into a future. So go with confidence onward into God's future. There's one thing more I got to point out here. Did you notice it's on the screen? Something else in the reading from Acts chapter 16? Well, let me tell you. In addition to hearing what God said, Paul and his fellow missionaries, they followed God's direction. As we read in Acts 16, 11 to 15, you heard it read already. You see, the point being is they had no idea how the future would unfold. But they followed God's direction to go into Macedonia. Paul didn't expect to be in Philippi. Paul didn't plan on meeting Lydia and her family. He didn't expect to stay with the family and see the beginning of one of the most vibrant churches in the New Testament era. But God took him on this journey, and He did it faithfully, through the ups, through the downs, through the detours. God carried His future faithfully. God is faithful. He is trustworthy with your life. Onward into God's future. So you can follow Him with confidence. So just think again of what He's done for you on that cross on Calvary. It's on the screen there. You can see the Bible tells us that He stepped into a very difficult time. He stepped into a very difficult future, Jesus. And as true God, He didn't have to leave heaven, but He did to save you and He did to save me. He set His status aside as God. He took on the nature of a servant to take your place in mine, right up there on that cross. He knew exactly what He was doing, though. He was fulfilling the promise to pay the price for our sin and defeat death for you and me and all who trust in him. So Jesus trusted his Father with his life so that our lives might be reconciled back to him again by grace. The crucified one is risen, so we say hallelujah. God the Father carried his future faithfully, and now Jesus, our Savior, is risen, and that testimony is for us as we await the coming of the Lord Jesus once again, the true life and salvation. So what does that mean? It means our future is bright. What does that mean? That means you can count on Jesus because he has lived, he has died, he has risen for you. You can this day and every day march forward joyfully, confidently, faithfully in his name, onward into God's future. And let me end by saying, oh, the places he will yet take us. Our future is in good hands, dear friends, because it is in the hands of God. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds onward into God's future. Amen. Well, at this time, if able, I'll ask you to rise as we confess our common faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We'll collect our tithes and offerings at this time. The treasure box is up here for the kids to walk their offering on up and drop it in the box, and I invite the ushers forward.
The offering hymn is taken this morning from the Lutheran Service Book, number 761, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Please rise for prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this state, and to all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Especially we remember Betty Marty, who has entered into hospice care. Lord, as her good shepherd, grasp her and hold her tightly and give her family strength through this journey. Also be with Pastor Brad Urbach, who is in the Vera Hospital here in Sioux Falls. We pray the testing goes well and results are found so his treatment can come to success. Be with all of those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith into their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join together and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now this eating and drinking of the body and blood of your Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
Closing hymn this morning is taken from the Lutheran Service, book number 844, Lord of All Nations, Grant Me Grace.